Next, would you please turn with me to the Word of God? Our reading this morning is from Psalm 27, verses 1 to 6. Psalm chapter 27, verses 1 to 6. Let's read this together. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour in flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. When an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. The war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to seek Him in His temple. For in the day of a trouble, He will keep me safe in His dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of His tabernacle, and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above enemies who surround me. And at the tabernacle, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. It's the Word of God. And this morning we have a special treat. Our speaker this morning is Reverend Wendell Friest. And he is not a stranger to our church. He's spoken here many times. And this weekend, I had the privilege with my wife to join him and his wife, Hope, to lead. Is that correct? Faith, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I apologize. This is the second time I have messed up introducing a speaker. Faith. But, you know, faith and hope. they're very two common words in the Bible, so it's easy to get them mixed up. So I had the privilege with my wife, Jennifer. Can't get that name wrong. Had the privilege of to be with my wife Jennifer and spend time with Wendell and Faith, and they led us in a marriage seminar in Richmond to help us understand how to communicate better with one another. And we spent this weekend actually with 9 other couples, and it was a very good time for me to learn how to communicate with my wife. And so to introduce Reverend Friest, he has spent 34 years in Taiwan as a missionary. He's got 3 children and 5 grandchildren. And in talking with him on the weekend, I discovered that we both like foods from Taiwan. I was born in Taiwan. I was raised partly in Taiwan. And the last time I was back was a couple years ago. And I just have this hankering for the food of Taiwan. And so we share that same passion. But I was kind of disappointed to discover that he did not like stinky tofu, which is one of my favorite foods. So, without further ado, please welcome Reverend Wendell Friest.
That's okay, Steve. My kids all love chou tofu. They just love it. You know, and faith, hope, and love, those three are always go together. But I only have one wife, and she is... She is faith. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are here right now. And we just fall before you in worship. Lord, you are here. You are invisible. We can't see you. You are hidden. Like the Bible says, you're hidden in that unapproachable light. You're hidden everywhere, but we pray now that you would just open our eyes, that we could see you. Open the eyes of our heart, Lord, that we can see you in your beauty, in your glory, in your just your awesome, wonderful love, and that we can understand you a little better today than we did before. Thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, amen. Would you? There's a lot of Bible passages I want to talk about today, so I asked Pastor Wilson if we could just print them, so you don't have to keep turning back and forth in your Bible. So would you pull this out, and we're going to look at these one by one. The first one you just read, and I would like to read it one more time. Psalm 27, the first six verses. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh. You know, with my glasses, these bifocals. When I first read this here, there's a little A there. You see that little A? When I was first reading it, I didn't quite see that clearly, and I thought it said, ha. When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, ha. When my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. The war break out against me. Even then will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, and this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. For in the day of trouble He will keep me safe in His dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of His tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At His tabernacle I will sacrifice with shouts of joy, and I will sing and make music to the Lord. I'm curious, in New Jersey, do parents ever play peekaboo with their kids, with their little children? Do you play peekaboo? Do you know what peekaboo is? You know what peekaboo is? It's like you, about it, when your kid is about two years old, okay? If your parents, okay, what's your name?
Calvin.
Okay, this is what peekaboo is. If your kid is about to, and you say, "Where's Calvin? Peekaboo! Where's Calvin? Peekaboo! Did you play that? Huh? Where's Calvin? Peekaboo! Yeah. When my little granddaughter was about 2 years old, you know, she used to love to play peekaboo. You'd do that in front of her face and pull her in. She laughed. She thought that was so funny when she was about two. When she got to be about three and a half, then she thought peekaboo was kind of boring. And then she wanted to play hide and seek. You know, we would play hide and seek in our house. And she always hid in the same place. And I had to go find her, but I had to pretend that I didn't know where she was, and I would go find her. It was always in the closet in my bedroom. But I walk around, and where is Elena? I walk around, and then I would find her, and say, oh, there you are, and then she would laugh, yeah. You know, and some of you remember playing hide and seek when you were little kids. Do you remember that? Did you ever play hide and seek? Yeah, okay. Yeah, Mark remembers, yeah. You can remember when you were little and you would hide maybe behind a tree or in a bush or something, and just so nervous, quiet, keeping real quiet so nobody would find you, nobody could see you. Yeah. When we first went to Taiwan, 1966, there were some people we knew who had memories of hiding in wartime. You know, you don't have memories like that. Maybe some of your moms or dads, maybe some of your grandparents would have memories in time of war when they had to hide, and that was not a game. That was not a game. Hiding in a place and just so, you almost did not dare to breathe for fear of being discovered. And that was a matter of life and death. Hiding at those times. And then, you know, we kind of think that, that's something removed. That kind of experience is removed from us very, very, very far away in time in geography. That's just not part of our life, you know. We're here in America. We're safe and sound. We always thought that, you know, that's not part of my life until 2001, September 11th. Then we realized, oh, it's not removed from us as far as we thought it was. Yeah. Now, after 9/11, you know, every time I take an airplane, especially out of the Newark airport, you know, every time I go up in an airplane, I have to stop and think, you know, I don't know if I'm going to come down or not. Well, I know I'm going to come down. I don't know how I'm going to come down. Yeah. And we realize, you know, there really isn't any place in the world where we are completely safe. Yeah. And safe and sound. But in the psalm that we just read, Psalm 27, if you notice the last verse, I mean the sixth verse that's printed there, it said, God gives us a hiding place that is so safe and secure that in this hiding place we can shout and sing for joy and make a loud noise and we don't have to be afraid of anything. That's amazing, isn't it? I was reading a while back a couple of essays by Edith Schaefer. Edith Schaefer is Mrs. Frances Schaefer. I don't know if any of you have ever read some of the books by Frances Schaefer. He is a theologian who lived in Switzerland for a long time. I'm sure Pastor Wilson has read some Frances Schaefer because he was my student. You know, if you read Frances Schaefer, the theologian, is hard reading. You have to, well, you first drink two cups of strong coffee, then take a cold shower, and then read Frances Schaefer and maybe you can understand him. But what I discovered is his wife, Edith Schaefer, boy, you read her stuff, it's just really easy. So, you know, sometimes I thought, if you really want to understand some of these theologians, get to know their wife, because they can make it simple and easy. Yeah. Anyhow, Edith Schaefer, I read a couple essays that she wrote, and she said it's very interesting that the way the word hide or hiding appears in the Bible so many times, Old Testament, New Testament, the word hide. In fact, she says, from the way the word hide is used in the Bible, you can almost understand the whole mystery of the Christian faith just from the way the word hide is used in the Bible. For example, there's another place that the word hide appears in the Bible, and that's in Genesis chapter 3, and you probably don't even have to look at this text because you remember. What did Adam and Eve do? What did Adam and Eve do as soon as they knew that they were sinners? As soon as they knew that they had sinned against God, what was the first reaction? Huh? They went and hid, didn't they? They went and hid among the trees of the garden. And that is a very natural reaction for a sinner, isn't it? That's a natural reaction that when we know that we are sinful, is the first thing we feel like we want to go and hide. We want to hide ourselves and cover up ourselves. It's very natural. But the problem is, there's no place you can hide from God. Did you ever sing the old spiritual, the old Negro spiritual, "There's no hiding place down here"? Did you ever sing that? No, you don't sing those. No, that's not a Chinese spiritual. But you know, there is no place we can hide from God. So Psalm 139 says, "O Lord," if you see this, it's Psalm 139, "O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and you know when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. And you are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. 34,000 feet above the earth in that airplane. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, and if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light. To you, we can't hide from God. We can't go anywhere in the whole universe and hide from God. I can't hide anything inside me from God. He has X-ray vision. He knows what I'm thinking. He hears every word I say. He sees everything I do. It says He knows me. You know, that's kind of scary, isn't it? That's kind of scary. Who can stand that? To be known completely, inside and out, everything, thought, word, and deed. If that was the only thing that we knew about God, that would be very, very, very scary, wouldn't it? Yeah, to be known that way. But the Bible goes on to say in other places, Psalm 32, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. And I want you to notice that word covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. I was teaching a class of young Asian Americans a while back. In English, I don't do that much in English anymore. But these people, we were speaking English, and I said to one of them, I said, what does he describe the way that he was feeling when he was not confessing his sins? How was he feeling? What was his condition? There was a kind of a silence, and then one of the guys who was getting ready to go into medical school, he said, osteoporosis. Spiritual osteoporosis. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. You know, my bones wasted away. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely, when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. It's interesting. We cannot hide from God. We can only hide in him. You follow that? We cannot hide from God anywhere. Any place in the whole universe you can't hide from God. The only place you can hide is in Him. And now the converse of that is if we don't hide in Him, there's no other place to hide. That's the truth. If we don't hide in Him, we can either let Him forgive our sins, and if we don't let Him forgive our sins, we have to let Him judge our sins. It's very interesting the way the word cover appears in this Psalm 32. In verse 5, he said, when I did not cover up my sins. In verse 1, it says, God covered my sins. Blessed is the one whose sins are covered. The word cover is a very interesting word, the way it's used there. He said, if I don't cover up my sins, God covers them. If I try to cover up my sins, they're uncovered. Yeah. That's the way it is. That's reality. That's the truth. So, now, when I don't cover up my sins, I come before God and I say, I'm a sinner. Then He covers my sins, and that is the most wonderful news you will ever hear in your whole life. In his prayer this morning, Pastor Steve said, what you are giving us this morning is just life itself. And that's the way God gives us life. And we have to understand the way God gives us life so that we receive His life on His terms, not on our own terms. the way He wants to give it. And that is the good news. When you come before Him without covering up your sins, your guilt, your everything that's wrong with you, you don't cover it up and you come before Him, it doesn't matter what you have done, it doesn't matter what your situation is like this morning, or any morning, or any day, He just covers your sins. And when He covers your sins, He covers your sins with Himself. So that you are hidden in Him, then, when you are hidden in Him, then all of His perfection and beauty and holiness and righteousness and goodness, all of that, it becomes yours. Yeah, it becomes yours. And that's what God sees when He looks at you. Now, that's amazing. That is just incredible good news. That when God looks at you, He said, now I see you as perfect. Because you are hidden in Jesus Christ. You are hidden in Jesus, and so when I look at you, I see Jesus. And Jesus is perfect. Oh man, you come before God, and God says, yes, good morning, welcome. Good morning, my perfect child. Come and let's talk together. Isn't that beautiful? Now, in order for that to happen, somebody had to give up his hiding place. Somebody had to lose his hiding place. Somebody had to come out of hiding and let all the guilt and shame and sin and disgrace and evil and ugliness and filth and everything bad in the world. Somebody had to come out of hiding and let all that get concentrated onto himself. You know who? Who did that? You know, don't you? You know. John chapter 1, verse 18. No one has ever seen God. No one has ever seen God. God is in hiding. He's hidden in the world. He's hidden in the universe. He's hidden in the beautiful trees and the waterfalls of nature. He's hidden everywhere. He's hidden everywhere. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made Him known. So He came out of hiding. He came a human being. And His name is Jesus. And He became a human being and He said, when you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. You've seen God. But you remember when Jesus was... I said He came out of hiding. And He had to allow all the sin and evil and ugliness and calumny and disgrace and guilt of the whole world come upon Himself. You remember? A shame. So you remember when Jesus was hanging on the cross? People were walking around under the cross. You remember what they were saying? They were making fun of Him. Now, He said He's the Son of God. He says He's God in Himself. He said He's going to save the whole world and He can't even save Himself. Ha, ha, ha. He said He's God Himself and look at Him. And He said, come down off the cross and we'll believe in you. Do a miracle and we'll believe in you. He received all that sarcasm and ridicule and shame and all that onto Himself. And because He did that, because He gave up His hiding place and set aside all of His protection and gave it up, so you and I now are completely protected. All of the guilt and the shame and the disgrace and the punishment that should come upon me and you went onto Him. And we are protected. Now the Bible says, this is a great mystery. This is a great mystery that was hidden from before the world was created. This is a mystery that was hidden from before the world was created. And the mystery is very interesting. The mystery is that now God has gone back into hiding. Now the God who came out of hiding to take all that guilt and sin and shame on Himself. Now He's gone back into hiding. And where is he hiding now? Paul says this is a great mystery in Colossians chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Where is Jesus hiding now? Huh? Calvin, where is Jesus hiding now? Huh? That's right. In you. Yeah, he's hiding in you and me. That's where Jesus is hiding now. This is a great mystery. He says God is hidden in you, so that as you go out now into the world every day, you face this the realities of all the sin and evil and ugliness and confusion and contradictions and everything that's messed up in the world. As you go out and live in this world, Christ is in you, hiding in you. But there, now that's only that's one part of the mystery. But the next part is very interesting too. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3: For you have died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Oh, you are hidden with Christ in God. You are in Christ, and Christ is in you. That's a great mystery. Yeah. Martin Luther loved to talk about that. He said, this great mystery, you are in Christ. You are in God. That means you're completely safe and secure. Nothing in the whole world, or nothing in the whole universe, can take you out of Him. You are in the kingdom of God, the family of God. You are hidden there, perfectly safe for eternity, forever and ever. You are in Christ. Christ is in you. That means as you go out into this world, Jesus is in you. And as Jesus is in you, you begin to understand more and more how Jesus thinks, how Jesus looks at things, how Jesus does things, the way He acts. You begin to understand more and more the mind of Christ, and then you begin to love. You really start to like the way Jesus thinks, and the way Jesus does things, and the way Jesus sees things. And then, the more you love the way Jesus looks at things, it becomes the way you look at things, and the way you think, and the way you do things. And you become more and more like Jesus because He is living in you. And then that becomes a power inside you. A power inside you so that you can say no to sin. You can say no to everything bad. And you can say yes to righteousness. Yes to everything good. And then with Christ in you, you are hidden in Christ. Christ is in you. You go out into the world and you begin to have an influence on the world. Now, so that's very interesting. To say that we are hidden in Christ does not mean that we just kind of run away and live in an ivory tower somewhere, you know, that like in Taiwan, the Buddhist monks and the nuns go into the monastery and just all day and all night they sit in there singing. It doesn't mean a chujia. Some of your moms and dads know chujia. It doesn't mean you're running away from the world. It means you're right here in the midst of this world, right here in the midst of all this mess. This ran chi ba zao world. You know what that means. You're right there in the midst of it. You're not running away from it. You're not trying to escape from it. But in the midst of, you know, this psalmist in Psalm 27, he was not sort of sitting up in an ivory tower, was he? He said, evil men advance against me to devour my flesh. My enemies and foes attack me. An army besieges me. He's right there in the midst of it all. But in the midst of it all, he's perfectly safe because he is hidden. He's hidden in God, in the hiding place. Now, okay, putting it in simple, concrete language, what does it mean to be in the hiding place every day? What does it mean to be in the hiding place every day? It's very simple. The last verse I want you to look at is Matthew 6:6. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. What does it mean to live in the hiding place? It's simply talking about your daily prayer life. Your daily prayer life. And that is the thing that you need more than anything else in the whole world, in the whole day, in your whole life. And it's just so simple. It's just so simple. It's having a conversation with Jesus. Having a conversation with Jesus in which you read the Bible, because the whole Bible, everything in the Bible is just Jesus talking to you. You start to read the Bible, and then you start to talk to Jesus, and it's a two-way conversation. Yeah, it's so simple. When I became a Christian 50 years ago, when I first became a Christian 50 years ago, I made a decision that I'm going every morning. The first thing I'm going to do before I do anything else is I'm going to have some time talking to Jesus. I'm going to use the Bible and let Him talk to me, and then I'm going to pray and I'm going to talk to Him. That was my decision 50 years ago, and I'm still holding to it. And it is so. I just hate it if I don't hear the alarm clock and I get up too late or something. I have to go out and face this raunchy bazaar world and all that. If I didn't have that time with Jesus in the morning, I hate. Nothing is right. That's so important. Okay, so this is your prayer life. You're in the hiding place, and it's a conversation with Jesus. But it's what's very interesting is, you know, it's so simple and so beautiful. You don't have to go. You know, David was saying, you know, he puts me in, he hides me in his tabernacle. Okay, he hides me in his tabernacle. What's wonderful about this is now you don't have to go to Israel and find the tabernacle. You don't have to go to Jerusalem and get inside the temple. You don't have to come to RCCC, although you should come to worship on Sunday morning. Don't forget that. That's important. You need that. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, you can do that any place, anytime. If you have that prayer life, if you have a specific time for your prayer life, then your prayer life can go on day and night, all the time, anytime, any place. You can talk to God. Paul says, pray without ceasing. You know, when you get up in the morning, you talk to God. Before you go to sleep at night, you talk to God. When you're walking, if you're driving, you better be a little careful about getting too deeply involved in a conversation with God. But it's okay, even then. Whatever you're doing, you can slip into this hiding place. And this talking to God, you know, any place, any time, you can actually be talking to God. It's almost like that kind of cell phone that you don't have to hold in your hands. You know that kind of phone? You just hook it on your ear. I used the first time I saw somebody in an airport waiting room walking around talking, I thought that he must have schizophrenia. This guy must be. And then I realized he was talking on a cell phone. But you know, you can talk to Jesus anytime, day or night, anytime, any place, no matter what you're doing. You slip into that hiding place. You hear His voice telling you, the first thing He tells you, the first thing He wants to say to you, always, the first word He wants to say to you, always, it never changes, is He wants to say, I love you. I love you. You are beautiful and perfect in my eyes. That's what he'll... Then he'll say some other things to you too. Because I love you, this is what I want you to pay attention to now. But you can tell him. You can tell Him whatever you're worried about, whatever you're sad about, whatever your anxieties are, whatever your weaknesses are, whatever your hurts are, whatever your needs are. You can tell Him all of that stuff. And He will tell you that He's going to protect you from all harm, and He's going to supply all your needs, and He's going to give you peace, perfect peace, the peace that passes all understanding. He's going to give you all that because Christ is hidden in you, and you are hidden in Christ. And that's unconditional. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter what your situation is this morning or this afternoon. He will never tell you to go away. He will never say, I don't want to hear any more from you. You blew it. He will never say that. He will say, come on, let me hold you in my arms. I love you. Tell me about it. And I want to assure you that you are mine forever and ever. So, now, make it a point. This is God's most wonderful gift. The most wonderful gift that you'll ever have in your life. Make it a point to use this gift. Make it a point to enjoy this gift every day, day and night. Make it a point to have a special time in your life. It doesn't have to be in the morning. It could be in the evening or wherever you want. Have a special time when you put everything, you know, the first job of the morning. I love that. Well, that was up when we started with that. Your first job in the morning is to push all this other stuff aside and just be with Jesus. That's my first job every morning. That's okay. If you don't have a lot of time in the morning, do that, but maybe you have more time in the evening or something. Whatever. Find a time. Make it a point to enjoy this hiding place, this gift, all the time in your life. And you will find that's the one thing that keeps you on an even keel, the one thing that makes you be able to live normally, healthily, happily, well, and that is the thing that makes you able to have some influence on this world, that is this messy world that you have to live in. Okay, that is the good news that God wants to give you this morning. I hope you put it in your heart and believe it, because it's true. You can trust God. It's true. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you. You are my hiding place. When I am in you, I am absolutely safe and secure, at peace, and I can face anything that this world throws at me. Lord, thank you that you are in me, so that as you are in me, your mind becomes my mind, your thinking becomes my thinking. The way you see things becomes the way I see things. The way you do things becomes the way I want to do things. Thank you for all of that. You're changing me. Lord, I pray this blessing on every one of these dear brothers and sisters who are here this morning. I pray that you would pour out this blessing on each one of them, that they will enjoy this hiding place, use this hiding place richly, and that you will make it a great blessing to each one of them in their daily lives, that they are always seeing you, even though you're invisible, even though you're hidden, that in the eyes of their heart they see you in your beauty and your glory and your amazing love and grace, and that they will just be walking each day in that wonderful relationship with you. Thank you for all of that. In the name of Jesus, amen.